Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Every Monday at about this time, which is 6:38, we check in with Dr. Kevin Most. We call it our little house call here from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Yeah, hanging in there. And many, many questions about the pandemic. Are you ready?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. First, basically, and I don't know whether you can really answer this, but how easy or hard is it to actually pick up the virus from another person? I mean, if you are practicing all the safety rules 100%, you're pretty much okay, right?
Correct. If you're practicing the social distancing, if you're practicing the washing your hands, if you're doing everything that you're supposed to, you are really well protected. And now with the CDC recommending that you wear a mask, those people who have the illness who we don't know are also going to be protecting us, I'll say, from getting the disease from someone we don't think has it.
If a person has the virus or has had it but now feels okay and then touches you or you touch something that person touched, wouldn't you still have to somehow transfer the virus into your eyes, nose, or mouth?
Yep. So that's why we're really careful about telling people not to touch their face. There's two ways you're going to get it. Someone's either going to cough or sneeze right into your face, or you're going to be right around that when it happens, because the virus is in droplets, and then you would inhale that. More commonly, though, they're going to do something. You're going to touch the countertop, and then you're going to touch your face, and then you're going to transfer actually the virus to your face. So, the big thing probably is to wash your hands frequently so that you're not going to be doing that, and then keep your environment that you control, keep the environment that you control clean, and think about all the things that multiple people will touch, whether it's doorknobs, phones, if you share phones with anybody, you know, areas that are common areas, you want to make sure you keep those clean.
Say that you're healthy, your immune system is working as it should, and the virus is transmitted to you via droplets or a contaminated surface, whatever. Is it possible that you wouldn't be infected at all? In other words, I'm healthy, but I come in contact with an infected person and I put my fingers in my eyes or whatever. Is it possible that my immune system would fight that off and I would not get the virus?
Absolutely. And that's one good thing about it and one concern about it. So the good thing about it is it appears that young people and people who are fairly healthy, they, when they get this illness, will either have very mild symptoms or may not have any symptoms at all, may not even notice it. The bad thing is those that are asymptomatic think I'm very healthy when, in fact, you still have the virus and can spread it. So that's the biggest concern. We thought initially coming out of China that asymptomatic people really were not going to be spreading it. But now we're finding that people can still have the virus within their body, but their immune system is fighting it off as well as possible. But the virus is still there and they can spread it even though they show no symptoms whatsoever.
So this new test they're talking about that checks antibodies, that test would say if you ever had the virus?
Yeah. That's exactly it. So the two tests we have, one is to test to see if you actually have the virus now. We're looking for pieces of the virus. We're looking for the virus itself, and that's the swab that they're putting in your nose. The blood test that you're talking about, a lot of people are saying, you know what, I was really sick in January, but I've gotten over that. Is there a chance I had COVID? Those are the ones that we're going to find out. Yes, many people had this and got over it, and we didn't even know about it. And that test will become more and more available as we get over the hump here. Some people are using that test right now, but mainly for healthcare workers and paramedics to see if they have protection, because if they do, they can still work in that environment and not be concerned about getting reinfected as long as they have antibodies present.
Let me get to a few questions based on some information going around the internet and social media and very confusing. First, I keep hearing about certain blood types being more likely to get the virus. Any truth to that?
You know, I think that we're way too early to do that because there's so many multifactorial issues on that. In other words, a person with type O blood type that has diabetes, a person with type O who smokes, who lives in an environment where they're exposed with a very deep viral load. So really, if you think about it, the blood type itself shouldn't have anything to do with it. Now, we may find out that some are better or more susceptible to it, but right now it's really about your immune system versus it is your blood type.
And there's also conflicting information about how far these droplets can travel to infect you. I've seen everything from, 6 feet to 27 feet. So the question becomes, 6 feet, is that enough for social distancing? I know there was one MIT researcher that said the droplets carrying the coronavirus could travel almost three times that or more.
Yeah, I think if we look at droplets versus airborne, so the two differences are the droplet, the virus is essentially with a fluid medium, and it will go so far, and gravity is going to drop that. So this is simple physics, right? This is, you know, how much force versus how much it weighs versus gravity and how far it's going to go down. Certainly in ideal situations, it probably can go further than 6 feet, but that would be potentially a big hard cough and forcefully in one direction. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of people are already sustaining or stopping their cough or covering their mouth when they cough. So the 6 foot is really probably one of the best things. And I think if we ask people to say 27 feet apart, I'm not sure we would see a big difference.
I'm not sure anybody would abide by that either.
You're right.
Continuing with our Monday house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hey, Doc, when we're working these hours, we're concerned about sleep. And I've been reading a lot about how a lack of good sleep can increase your susceptibility to infection. How true is this?
Very true, Bob, and it's probably one of the biggest things that we've been trying to enforce with people is, you know, some of the things that you can do besides eating right and washing your hands anew and all that is really to make sure you're get that 7 to 9 hours of sleep every day. We know that sleep helps our immune system. There's been numerous studies that have shown the effects of viruses, bacteria on people who haven't slept, even to a point where, you know, we tell people after they've had their flu shot and after they've had their shingles shot, hey, make sure you take it easy and get some rest here the next couple of days. It'll make the effectiveness of that higher. So sleep is so important. And for you guys, it's very difficult now because you're going to sleep and it's still light out sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's very hard. But blackout curtains for you guys is a good idea. But don't try to get these 3-hour catnaps here and there. Really, a sustained 7 to 9 hours is really good for you.
I hope that Steve Grzanich and Dave Ennett and Mary Vandeville are all listening to this. That's 7 to 9 hours a night, not 7 to 9 a week, guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's a dream to have 7 to 9 in a night.
Well, we'll try. We'll try harder. A lot of folks helped out their favorite restaurant over the weekend, and everybody's also concerned with these food boxes and containers you bring into the house, Doc. What do we need to know about that?
Yeah, Bob, you know, so food containers, boxes from Amazon, anything that's being delivered to your house, certainly the virus could live on it. So if somebody coughed on it immediately before they gave it to you, I could tell you that all of these workplaces, whether it's Amazon or restaurants, are keeping those individuals who are not feeling well away, but you still have that chance of that asymptomatic person. That being said, the chance is extremely low. However, if I was someone that was very anxious about this and was very concerned, you know, whatever is delivered by Amazon, unless it's something that's perishable, you really could let it sit for a day, and it won't last. The virus will not live for, you know, 4 days on a cardboard box, 24 hours probably. But if you're anxious and you're really concerned, you can either wipe it down or, better yet, wash your hands after you open it and get rid of the box right away. But for most people, the chance of getting it from a package delivery is going to be extremely low.
Many messages from folks wondering about how warm weather will affect the virus or not affect the virus. What do we know about this from studying other countries?
Yeah, well, we wish we knew more just because of the uniqueness of this. We have a disease that's just a little bit over 100 days old. So really, we wish we had a couple seasons under our belt that could predict what was going to happen. What we're really hoping is that it follows the seasonality of the influenza virus, where we actually have already started to see the number of influenza cases drop off here pretty dramatically. That's what we're going to hope to see. The unfortunate thing is when it's winter here and spring here, and we see a lot of influenza. The southern hemisphere, we normally don't see a lot of influenza because it's their summer. Well, unfortunately, we're seeing cases worldwide. So it's very unpredictable now and very uncertain as to what's going to happen with the seasonality of this illness.
So do we know yet about mosquitoes and whether they would carry the virus?
Yeah, we certainly don't think mosquitoes are going to. Mosquitoes are going to carry viruses that are going to be injected into the blood, where this is more of a airborne illness. So we doubt that, you know, the mosquito is going to bite us. The only thing they would probably get is our antibodies, and they couldn't passively transfer those. So it's not like people are getting it in the bloodstream as much as they are in the respiratory tract and in the lungs.
Hey, Doc, I have a question which may rank among the dumbest questions you're going to get asked today. Any information on whether facial hair could in any way affect the virus or enable it to breed around your face?
Well, Dave, you've asked dumber questions in the past. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm asking for a friend.
No, I know. Okay, there's two things about it, Dave. One is absolutely it can. When you sneeze and cough, it can stay on your facial hair. So, you know, here where we have to wear masks, we ask everybody to shave now. So we're going to, so the one for the mask to fit properly. But absolutely, coughing and sneezing can certainly have that virus linger on the facial hair. And if you get exposed to somebody, again, and washing that is a little bit more difficult sometimes. So it's not a dumb question at all, and it's very possible.
Okay, I'm going to go shave.
And do you want to clear up confusion about masks, Doc, and who should be wearing it, and what type of mask, and what it's really good for?
Yeah, Bob, and that is an important part because people right now are being, you know, the CDC is saying, hey, it's a good idea to wear a cloth mask while you're outside. The reason they're saying to wear a cloth mask is we want to make sure that individuals aren't using the masks that we need in the healthcare setting. So people shouldn't be walking around with N95 masks. That being said, the mask is not going to do anything. I shouldn't say anything. The mask is not going to do much to protect you. The reason we're asking people to wear masks is we know that we have asymptomatic people like we were just talking about. So you're actually trying to protect yourself from giving this to others. It's not going to protect you so much. So this is going to be to try to decrease that number of asymptomatic people spreading it to someone else. That being said, two other things happen. One, you touch your face less because of the mask. And two, it's this visual cue to remember, hey, we're social distancing, we're trying to stay away from each other. So there's some things that the mask will do, but don't get this false sense of security that wearing a mask is going to protect you.
Got it. There is growing knowledge about vitamin D and how it helps our immune system. And it's my understanding, Doc, that much better than supplements, just sticking your face out in the sun whenever we get sun around here is a good thing. How important is vitamin D?
Vitamin C and vitamin D are probably the two most important right now. B a little bit, but really vitamin D and vitamin C. We know they're both very important to our immune system, and you're absolutely right. We've been fortunate that we've had at least a few sunny days, and I went out for a walk and saw many people out walking, which is great. So getting the sunlight, actually, we'll make our own vitamin D as long as we're in the sun. It's kind of weird, but it's true. In the winter, I always tell everybody, but mainly women as well, to make sure they take vitamin D because not only does it help our immune system, but it helps keep our bones strong. And osteoporosis in women is very important. So definitely try to get out this morning while the sun is still out. And if not, and you're in an office or you're in a home and you can't get out, vitamin D supplement will definitely help your immune system.
I want to get to a couple of listener questions here that we got via text and email. By the way, the news will be coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in less than 3 minutes. This is an email from Cindy. I'm scheduled for a diagnostic mammogram as a cancer survivor. What should I do to protect myself when I go for my appointment, Doc?
Yeah, one would be to definitely check to see to make sure that they're still doing them. She's having a diagnostic versus a screening, so they probably are going to do that. Two, they will probably mask you as soon as you walk in. That is one thing. And two, the person that's taking your mammography, your mammogram, will actually be protected as well. And rest assured, we clean all this equipment very, very scrupulously between, or very, very tightly between each patient. So we make sure that the equipment that you're going to be exposed to has been cleaned. The tech is going to be protecting you, and as well, they're going to probably mask you, which will protect you from anyone else.
By the way, the text number here and the phone number is the same, 312-981-7200. You can email us at this address, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Another question we got here, Doc. If I have symptoms, what is the suggested course of action for me? Should I contact my doctor or go to the ER?
No, don't go to the ER unless your symptoms are severe. If you have common cold symptoms, the best thing you can do is self-isolate. Go into a room that is your room. Don't share it with anybody. Have your meals delivered to your room, or when you're out, make sure you're not around other people and that they clean surfaces. So you want to self-isolate from your family. Do not go to the emergency room unless you're short of breath, you feel that you're dizzy or lightheaded, that this illness is getting worse to a point where you may need to be in the hospital. Verifying that you have the illness is not the issue right now. It's stopping the spread. So unless you actually need medical care, you can contact your doctor, but really the big thing is going to be to isolate yourself from others.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, as always, Doc. I'm sure we'll have another batch of questions for you next Monday. Appreciate the good answers, as always.
You got it, Bob. We'll take care. And Dave, think of some good questions for me next week.
I'm going to top that one, Doc.
Okay.
Yeah. And while you're out standing in the sun, think of those. Work on that, Dave.
I will.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thanks again.